Hey, wonderfuls. Welcome to this special live from Pod X episode of the JV Club, recorded at guess where? That's right, Pod X. I am recording this in a hallway because I am steeped in recordings all day, ironically, in a studio that is being used right now. So I had to come out and do a kind of crappy recording instead of using nice studio equipment to record my intro. I hope you enjoy this episode. I have made no secret about the fact that I got to podcast Susan Simpson and had a delightful time doing it. Hope everyone's well, and we will return next week with Boys of Summer. Guys, thank you for coming. It feels semi-unnecessary to have this microphone, but short of just going down in there and making us all sit in a circle, which is very tempting indeed, I think we're gonna get started. And it gives me very great pleasure to share with you my new buddy, Jenny Tolman, who I had on the podcast a few weeks ago, who is a wonderful musician and lives here in Nashville. So I would be crazy not to ask her to come and play a song or two. So she's gonna open our show with a song. Please welcome her, even though secretly your heart already welcomed her.
Thank you. Well, I guess since this is the welcome, I'll do a song called Welcome Mat. I got friends that love the Pope and friends that love their dope. Guess we're all just trying to find a higher place. I got friends that fit the mold and friends that dance on poles. In my living room ain't no one out of place. My welcome mat. Don't care if you're white or black. Don't care if you're thin or fat. It ain't fair to judge all that. My heart is an open door. Don't care if you're rich or poor. Ain't the world just a big front porch anyway. Got friends that paid for fake ones, and some happy with what God gave them. They can all hang out in my house any day. I got friends that love their babies, and some still single in their 80s. Yeah, we're all a little crazy, but that's okay. My welcome mat. Don't care if you're white or black. Don't care if you got two dads. It ain't fair to judge all that. My heart is an open door. Don't care if you're rich or poor. Ain't the world just a big front porch anyway. We all laugh at different jokes and paint with different strokes. But we all look the same from 10,000 feet above. And we all need love. We all need love. So my welcome mat. Don't care if you're white or black, blue, red, or Republican. It don't give a damn about that. My heart is an open door. Don't care if you're rich or poor. Ain't the world just a big front porch anyway. For my welcome mat. I got friends that love the Pope and friends that love their dope. Guess we're all just trying to find a higher place.
Thank you, Janet, for having me.
Oh, the best part was it felt like there was an ocean breeze the whole time. That's what we're going to tell ourselves that was. Just a beautiful ocean breeze. Oh, you have like, this is a weird combination of a panel and a podcast, I guess. It feels semi-formal for what I would usually be doing.
And you're comfortable playing a lot of different characters, right? Because I'm going to have you sit in different chairs and ask hard-hitting questions, and then you can just improvise some weird characters with me. None of that will happen. Thanks for coming. Listen, here's the thing. Sometimes it's better when you, A, do your podcast with someone you already know who's your friend, or B, someone that you don't know at all, but you're also not semi-obsessed with. The tricky thing happens when you are podcasting someone, and I have the experience that sometimes people have with me, where they listen to the podcast, so there's some sort of relationship there, even if it's aural, but the other person hasn't, like, I don't have that information to share back. Like, hey, you, I know everything about you. So that's what's happening right now. I just want to share that with you. I'm a huge fan of Susan Simpson. I love the Undisclosed podcast. I find it very inspiring and very fascinating. And so now I'm tasked with putting that all aside to just get to know her with you guys. Hello, Susan.
Hello.
Are you creeped out?
No, not yet.
What can I do to creep you out? Just sit a little closer.
We'll see.
All right. Welcome to Pod X.
Yeah,
we're both a part of this.
Good to be here and finally make it to the building.
You just came in.
Yeah, we were actually we do a investigative podcast, and we have a case in Tennessee. So.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. So we've been on the road, and all morning we were at a jail out in the middle of nowhere. So we were like flying back to get to our live podcast about an hour ago. We made it though.
Oh man! And you did the 45th first. Yeah. So you have another podcast with Rabia Chowdhury called the 45th. That I listen to as well, but and I enjoy your pessimism, but you do have a lot of it. So sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I can listen to her talk about it's the end of the world, because it very well might be. But you always have great insights. You and Robbie and your guests also have great insights on that podcast. So I recommend that one as well. But this is what we were kind of joking about off stage, is that for someone like me who is just in like the entertainment business for a living, and who comes from like parents who are teachers and friends who are social workers, I already have like gross Hollywood guilt. And then when you listen to a podcast like this, where the person that you're talking to is like, yes, I was at a jail in the middle of Tennessee before I came here to do this show, there's this sense of like, I'm so sorry I'm not also at a jail. I'm sorry I wasn't also at a jail. You're doing such great work. You're helping people. You're changing lives. Thank you.
Well, this jail you could have gotten into, because it was the least secure jail I've ever seen. I'm still kind of horrified from
it. Was it really?
We walked in, did not show any IDs, I don't think we even had to give our names.
Did you have to go through a metal detector?
We had emailed ahead, they knew we were coming, but like literally showed up with our bags, no metal detector, no search of bags, brought in cell phones, brought in our laptops. They just waltzed us in, put us in a room, brought the dude out. Like, the room has all this, like, equipment, like, bats, like, handcuffs, all kinds of stuff there.
Oh, my God, I thought you meant bats for a second. They've got to take care of that problem.
A couple of, like, baseball bats in the wall.
Okay,
they're just going to bring in
just
this
weapons,
extremely
things that could be used.
Long-term criminal with a long violent history into this room with us. He was totally cool. He was great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was like, wow, this is extremely secure. I could have brought literally anything into this room with me.
Wow, the honor. Not even the honor system. Like, do you have a gun?
But they didn't even ask.
No.
They did say, like, hey, any weapons? We're like, no. Like, it's cool.
You're like, just the weapon of free speech. And then they said, what do you mean?
Most jails have been like, I would never mention that. And they're like, okay, cool.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But I know I can't ask you any more about this case, because it's going to be something that is going to come out. Is there a sense of any kind of surreality for you going from something like that to something like this? Or does it just feel like all in a day's work for you now?
It feels like so often it blurs together that I'm kind of used to that now.
But you've been doing Undisclosed for several years now.
Yeah, it still feels like almost yesterday. It's 4 years now. So.
And for you, was and now I'm getting all the questions that you always get asked out of the way, hopefully, but was there, I mean, from the outside perspective, it would seem that, you know, I think that's another reason that people maybe respond to the podcast as well, is this feeling of like, you were once one of us. you were just doing good work in the D.C. area, and then all of a sudden you're on this podcast that's, like, changing people's opinions about the way the legal system works.
It turns out if you get really hardcore as a fan and have a blog, it actually can matter sometimes.
Yeah. Guys, I can't give you this whole backstory. It's an extraordinary one, but suffice it to say, many of us listen to Serial. Some of us went from listening to Serial to finding things to get a certain Anansi at a new trial. No big deal, but she's sitting right here. So that's kind of an important piece of information. If you listen to Serial or you've heard of it and then you didn't sort of like take the journey beyond that, I very much, very much recommend season one of Undisclosed. It will blow you away. I know people that listen to Serial who are like, yeah, I'm really still on the fence about it. I'm like, there's so much information for you that will change your mind.
Literally so much. It's like 40
so
episodes.
Much. It yeah. is. It is. It goes by real fast. I don't listen to it on 1.5 speed, guys. I can't.
Yeah, it's,
these
yeah.
guys are too smart. Also, Susan talks fast, and so do I, so it's a good fit.
Me. It's not going to work great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would just be like
I heard
a
blur. Sound like a chipmunk.
Like a chipmunk. Hey, listen, when you speed up on your podcast app, it doesn't make your voice higher, and you don't have a high chipmunk voice, so you're safe.
It's a very, very deep voice chipmunk.
a very mature, yeah. very white chipmunk. You are not from Tennessee, but if memory serves,
Georgia.
From the, yes, because we learned that you were from Rome, Georgia,
yes.
in a season of
Well, from Atlanta.
You're
My family's from Rome.
Got it. So. And did you know, when did you sort of know that you were not destined to stay in the South and in fact wanted to be up in D.C., which I guess some people consider
the South. There.
You did go, yeah.
That's kind of how it happened. I was not like, I needed to leave the South. I wanted to leave Atlanta at that point. I've been there. I stayed there for college, so... Yeah, but no, I like the South. It's good. It's yeah. got terrible public transport otherwise.
Yeah. But you could also say that about a lot of places. I mean, like for me on the West Coast,
That's
I feel
true.
Like I can make that complaint. It's just one of many things that it turns out it's hard to do when you have a lot of people
yeah.
and a lot of opinions.
But DC is great, yeah. I think I'm, I've been there, for 13 years now, so I guess I'm kind of established there.
You're
That's great.
You're a DCite? What do you call it when you're...
I don't actually know.
Huh. A DC comic. There. You're welcome, world. I'm sure that's going to go viral. I do feel bad for people who are comics based in D.C., now that I realize that, though. Like, for somebody who's like, hey, how you doing? It's great to be here in Tallahassee. I'm a D.C. comic. And then everyone's like, we don't read comics. We only like stand-up. Boo. So for anybody, for any of my friends who went on to become lawyers, they sort of fall into the category that I was not in high school, which was... They went into pre-law, so they sort of had a sense of who they were and what they wanted at an age that I absolutely categorically did not. Is that true for you?
Oh no.
Not
Zero
at
sense.
All? Really?
I was, I was senior year. I didn't know what I was doing. Like, apply to law school, see what happens.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's not something that we all would necessarily go like, I don't know what I want to do with my future. I guess I'll apply to law school.
I mean, there's gunners who are like, I want to be pre-law. And then there's the rest of us who are like, what am I going to do with this degree? I barely have enough credits to get.
Right.
So let's... apply to law school and hope it works out.
Did you have a sense when you were spitballing about law school what your emphasis would be, or was it just you didn't even think that far?
Oh, no. I mean, you do think that far, but before law school, you don't know enough to really know how it's going to play out. So any ideas you have at that stage are just going to be dead on arrival because you can't know.
Like, so you didn't go out and buy like a white suit and a hat to fan yourself with and a handkerchief to
I don't even
pat
know why
your forehead
no,
with?
No.
I don't know, just like a Southern lawyer arguing a case in a hot courtroom. That's what many of us still think of.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid that career path, so.
Understood. I'm wearing the seersucker here, so listen. Objection! Taken care of. Click. But I assume you're a good student if you managed to get into it. This is amazing.
Okay. Yeah.
This would be very inspiring to all my teenage listeners who feel like they are not good students and don't know what to do with their lives to find out that they could be lawyers.
And I was okay. I would not say I was a very applied student, but it was always the kind of thing where I always got by, and turned out that was a bad sort of prep for law school.
Dude,
because
I
got to law school, I was like, oh my God, I had to do work. What the hell is this?
Did you go to public high school? Was it easy enough to kind of just skate by because
you were
smart?
I went to both public and private, and you know, I was probably, a B student, so it wasn't like I was getting A's everywhere, but I could basically coast and get B's without trying to. And I did sports in college, so like that's really more your life emphasis. Like, okay, I gotta go to class in between workouts.
Right.
So I thought I studied, I thought I did work, and it turns out I had not been studying the whole time. So that was a real rough wake-up call.
Okay, we're gonna take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
We We are the host of My Brother and Me, and now, nearly 10 years into our podcast, the secret can be revealed. All the clues are in place, and the world's greatest treasure hunt can now begin.
Embedded in each episode of My Brother and Me is a micro clue that will lead you to 14 precious gemstones all around this big, beautiful blue world of ours.
So start combing through the episodes. Let's say starting at episode 101 on.
Yeah, the early episodes are pretty problematic, so there's no clues in those episodes.
No, not at all.
The better ones, the good ones, clues ahoy.
Listen to every episode repeatedly in sequence. Laugh if you must, but mainly get all the great clues. My Brother and Me, it's an advice show, kind of, but a treasure hunt, mainly. Anywhere you find podcasts or treasure maps, My Brother and Me, the hunt is on.
What is pre-law like in terms of the amount that they expect you to be doing not in class?
I did political science, and that was purely because I did not actually plan that well for my major, and it was the only major I could get enough credits for my last year to graduate in time. So, poli-sci it was.
God, you really did. You were just like, can't do that.
I spent a year in Australia studying abroad, a year in England studying abroad. So
okay, that's...
I was having fun.
That's a fun, interesting surprise.
I was had a lot of cool classes. They just weren't focused on any one thing.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Are you still like that? Do you still have the sort of I'm interested in this, but I'm interested in this. God, I wish I had more time because I also kind of love this thing that I can't make time for.
I have increasingly less time, but yeah, I've got the free time I do have is pretty scattered.
Yeah.
On what's been on.
What sports were you playing?
It was mostly soccer. That was kind of my main sport.
Then
because I was at a small school, I could play whatever I wanted, so I did tennis and softball too.
And that's in high school and college?
I did, I think, basketball and volleyball in high school. And then because of the way
just named all the sports. Can we agree that all the sports were... I think we're missing fencing. Did that not come into play?
No, I hated it.
This is infuriating.
I was fencing sounds amazing. I'm going to be so good with my little sword. And yeah. I had a class in it, signed up for it. Get there, the first day of class of fencing, they're like, we're going to do poses. All just stand there and not even hold the sword, just standing there pretending to hold the sword. I dropped the course right away.
Yeah, because that's exactly what they were doing it for. They were we're going to thin out the people who just want to hold the sword.
I can hold a sword in my own time.
Yeah. Give me my homework, I'll hold it. Fencing and juggling are things that are some of the few physical things that sometimes you're exposed to, stage combat stuff. If you come from a theater background at all, that's where the overlap happens, where you can be I'm theater, but it's very sporty. I did a week of fencing, thank you. But I too thought, this is going to be, I'm clearly a pirate. For sure, I'm a musketeer. There's no question that that's just been hiding inside me, waiting to come out. And that was not the case at all. I was not a great fencer.
But you got past...
And I can't juggle. I still don't know how to juggle. People have tried to teach me over and over.
So you can't be a jester. You can't be a pirate.
You can't
do a lot of Shakespeare.
Exactly. For me, it's with you. Poli-sci. For me, Hollywood. For me, comedy.
It's the default. I've entered every other pathway, but this one's still open, so let's go.
I'll take it. I'm passionate about it. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, exactly. I did very much avoid sports in high school, even though I enjoyed them sort of all the way up till there. But somewhere, you know what it was for me? It was a locker room. I hated taking showers in the middle of the day. I hated taking my sweaty shoes off and putting my sweaty feet on other people's sweaty concrete.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
Right?
Yeah.
But you got through it. You sort of...
Yeah.
Suffered through that for the positive result of doing sports.
I don't think anyone likes that. It's a question of
you don't think anyone's I hate basketball. Woo!
Time for the locker
room.
This
is where the real sports begin. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I kind of understand that in a way. You're tall, so people, I'm sure, were like, "Well, listen, we got to get you into basketball straight away because that's what happened
to me." I was the tiniest little shrimpiest kid ever. And for a long time, I was a very late growth spurt. So until I was I think 14, 15, later on for girls.
That is later on, because I was the tallest for a long time.
I thought of myself as a small person for a long, I don't even know when it stopped being true, because I was a tiny one. You look at pictures, I'm this little, nothing. Other girls are standing over me.
We're all picturing a hobbit, FYI.
Yeah, not even a hobbit, because it's this little, spindly little, skin and bones, basically.
Yeah.
And then I learned to play sports that way. I learned to, even though I was tinier than everyone else, I learned to, do what I had to do. Mm. Unfortunately, I then
became... Do what you had to do.
Yeah.
A lot of fouls.
Yeah, but then I got bigger. And
a lot of kneecaps.
Don't get away with it anymore. Like, yeah. It was such bullshit. Like, the way I'm going to play no longer worked at all. I hated it.
Wait, now I'm imagining you, like, running underneath other people's legs.
Like, I could,
and well, then when you grow, you're like, wait, I can't.
It was kind of like that.
I can't fit under your legs anymore.
Because when you're little, like, if you found someone, you're just like, well, look what she did to me. And you get away with it. And then when you're bigger, like, you don't do anything. Like, you walk past a player, and the ref is like, red card. See ya. You're ejected.
Oh,
like, I just, like, walked. And, like, because they're smaller than you. Yes, yeah. I'm being discriminated because
this makes me angry. Now, I don't want to suggest too much, but season whatever we're on, undisclosed, there's some injustices that need to be righted. We're going to go back to your high school. We're going to sue some people that we feel discriminated against you because you were tall. It's going to be a hard-hitting season. I see 20 episodes right there. I'll play the lawyer. I'm getting a little mixed up now. Now I'm getting a little mixed up about how this is going to work. My objection.
I don't want to spend that much time there.
Understood. Understood. Well, that's another thing that you were, that you would sort of drop little breadcrumbs about here and there when you were working on, it was Joey Watkins, yeah? Mm-hmm. That season of Undisclosed when you were in going back to Rome and meeting people so often is a sort of like the feeling of doing some, I mean, this is kind of my interpretation of it, but the feeling of taking your own sort of personal experience and memories and knowledge of a place and then sort of overlaying something professional on top of it, I think might be kind of kooky in a way.
Yeah, in that case it was weird because I thought I knew Rome. I didn't live there, I spent a lot of time there. And I thought I had a kind of understanding of how it worked. And I realized that was not true at all. I mean, it was basically like going to a place I had no experience with, even though I'd spent every summer there for my whole life.
Was that like a just a sort of a cultural like class kind of, this is sort of where you would be and this is where Joey's,
that was definitely
Joey's
a part
environment
of it.
Was?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that whole sort of subculture existed. And of course, with the Mitch and Marie series, one of you listened to that,
yes,
also in Rome.
That's like Susan,
a whole different sort of, like Joey's case is like, you know, kids being really dumbass kids.
Yeah, season two, also fascinating, guys.
The
fascinating.
Other case we did
it's
in
a mystery.
Rome, it was all about, like, bootleggers and, like, murders and judges that kill people. So it was definitely a whole new level of, like, what the hell. So not only was it, like, to me, like, this is Rome, Georgia, my mother, who did grow up there, spent all her time there, she had no idea that it was like that. She had lived there during the time period all this was going on, and she was totally oblivious.
Yeah. It can be that, I mean, it really can. It can be that sort of like concrete of a line that you cross over in a sense.
Yeah.
Mitchum, he goes by Mitchum, yeah? Is he still doing his podcast?
He is. He has his own podcast now.
This man has, I feel really bad for all of you that haven't yet dived, doven, that is certainly not it. Dived?
Jumped.
Dove. Who haven't yet dove in, ugh, I hate everything that's happening right now with my voice and my speech, into Undisclosed, because I'm just jumping around making all these references that are semi-oblique unless you've listened to it. But this gentleman that Susan's talking about has one of the great sort of old school Hollywood voices, to the point where he was actually compared in numerous ways to Robert Mitchum.
He was named after
And
Robert
was
Mitchum.
Named after
yeah.
him. But he was named after someone that he ended up, like, he, when you're a baby, you don't know, like, you're named after someone, but I don't know how he ended up, like, someone, like, understood and, like, looked in a crystal ball and was like, he will sound like a, like a 1940s Hollywood star.
But he won't be emulating the star, he'll be emulating the role of a bootlegger. So.
That's right. He is.
One of the
he
roles
is.
He's been Mitchum played, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
His voice is, mwah. It's like listening to Johnny Cash speak. There's just, you're sort of like, oh, I could almost, like I'm almost losing track of what he's saying because it's so soothing and like sensual. He's a very sensual voice, everyone. And he's bootlegger, exciting life. So and I know that obviously that's Rome, that's not Atlanta, and that's not you playing sports in high school. But my sense of you being successful at being in all these different sports, you probably weren't also the person who was like going out on Friday night getting shit-faced and...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, most the sports players probably were.
Oh,
that
yeah?
It was not definitely, it was not like a people who go to parties and sports divide. That's probably like more closely aligned.
Yeah, why would
not.
I say that? I don't know, I'm applying this sort of like fierce, like, I'm a competitor, I'm not going to poison my body. Wait, have you heard of homecoming, Janet? What's wrong with you? Again, theater and dance. Did not ever go to a single football game. But it's not like a football player is like, I don't imbibe. I don't partake of those things.
I don't think I went to a single
what
party
a judgment.
In high school. I mean, I guess I went to like parties, but like, I mean, like, you know what I mean.
Like a dance?
I'm sure I went to gatherings that were like, I did not go to any...
The under the sea dance
no
where your parents
where
almost didn't get married.
There.
And yeah.
I really did not drink in high school at all.
Yeah.
So.
Did you, was there a time at which you discovered it in a way that was like, oh no, where has this been? Or was it like just sort of a natural, mature, like, understanding of alcohol and stuff like that?
I went to Australia. I was 18. It was legal there. The first semester, I didn't drink because I never had and, like, didn't. I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't even know why. It wasn't, like, a firm position. It wasn't, like, I don't like drinkers. It wasn't, like, I had a problem with alcohol or, like, judge people who drank. I just, like, I never have, not interested. And I think because I was the American girl that was, like, not drinking while in Australia, so my friends there became, like, on a mission to, like...
Oh, sure.
So eventually they won. I'm like, oh, this is fun.
What was it? Was it just beer? Or did they...
No,
did
it was
they
passion pour? Pop. So, like, it was, like... It's, like, a... So basically in Australia, it was this awful, awful, terrible drink that they all drank when they were, like, probably, like, 14, 15.
It's like our equivalent of wine coolers?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's
passion
terrible.
Pop.
So I think that was, like, the first time someone's like, you have to drink this. It's a rite of passage in Australia. So I'm like, okay.
And it was gross. But at the time, did it taste...
It,
you weren't, like, young enough to go, this is candy. How wonderful.
Oh, it's not even good. It's just purely awful for anyone at any stage of drinking.
And yet, super popular, probably persists to this day.
I'm sure it's there. It's very fruity. It's very bubbly. So I guess it's got that going for it.
I guess so. Yeah, I think of Australia as being a sort of... I've spent a little bit of time there, and it does have this sort of, like... My experience with it was that it had, like, a very casual, fun relationship to, like, drinking, like, everybody going to bars after work and stuff, which isn't to say that that doesn't happen here. But when you're in a different place that is foreign to you, maybe you're looking for things that seem not like you, but could be, like, just, I might as well have been in Boston. I just wouldn't know that because I wouldn't be paying attention the same way. But that's how I felt about Australia. I felt like everyone was like, you're gonna have a drink.
Yeah. Well,
like,
at 18, it really, for me, it kind of solidified my belief that it's insane that in America, drinking is 21.
Yeah.
Because I was not part of drinking culture before that, so I didn't really, I mean, I heard stories from friends, like, that sounds awful, why would you do that to yourself? And I'd had experience in Australia, everyone went to a bar and drank, it was not like it was not illegal, so it was just a social thing that I was doing around other people. Without. I get back to America, like, a couple years later, and I'm still underage, and people are drinking in, like, gross, like, parties and, like, bad stuff happens. I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Like,
yeah.
This is insane that these people cannot just go to a bar and drink like human beings instead of doing whatever is going on in this mess over here.
Yeah. Well, I definitely did have the experience in high school where I discovered alcohol at some point and I'm not proud of it. In fact, I just had the experience last night where someone I was with had a drink that had what I like to call brown liquor in it, which is just like whatever it was something that was dark colored, and I cannot still to this day even take a small sip without feeling like I'm going to barf. Like any kind of brown liquor, because that is what I snuck from my dad's liquor cabinet to get drunk.
Interesting.
Immediately, like I had no interest in the taste. It definitely was like, well, gonna go out. Someone's picking me up. Better drink this. Better have this shot real quick. And so I only associate it with like the feeling then of it coming back up. Like I taste it going down. I'm like, oh yeah, that's the same.
Like
it tastes the same
soup.
Coming back up.
Like
so that's what I'm associating
with it. I can't eat
it.
Chicken soup because I
it reminds you of stomach flu. Yeah.
Yeah. So like for me, chicken soup's kind of like. No. So
yeah.
I guess that's brown alcohol.
Exactly.
Although, I think it was like mid-20s when I learned that. Liquor can taste pretty good.
Yeah. But I feel that way about the non-browns.
Yeah, I was
sounds
unaware.
Awful.
I assumed that liquor...
In every way. We were all a part of this. When that gets used out of context, and I go to prison for some reason, and Susan's like, I'm not touching this case. This
yeah.
is the place I draw the line.
But yeah,
we'll
no,
all know.
Like,
you guys
like,
can all visit me.
Tequila's always gross, but like other kinds of alcohol, turns out you don't just have to like do a shot or like mix it with a lot of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
It can actually be okay-ish on its
100%
own.
100% agree. What is a drink that you enjoy having socially?
I kind of like beer more than anything. I do, if I had to have a liquor, probably like a martini or something, but
yeah.
I don't get too wild with those.
Yeah.
So I don't like sweet drinks. I really hate like the sweet alcohol stuff. That's
yeah.
gross to me.
That's also, I think, the fastest ticket to not feeling great
yeah.
also is
yeah.
true. Yeah.
Fast ticket to not feeling great is like 3 whiskey sours in a row.
Boof.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, it's
I
personal experience.
I'm sorry, I can't hear the word whiskey or I get a little bit. Could you not? I should have told you in advance. Please don't use that word. So what brought you to Australia? Like, what was that presented to you as an option or did you seek that out when you were that age?
Yeah, so I guess this is all about full disclosure. I was a tiny, like, little geek kid and I had lots of little, like, geeky hobbies, including, like, internet, like, role-playing games.
Great.
That sounds creepy these days. Like in the old days, back in the old times, before we had actual video games, we had things like Muds and Mucks.
I cosplay Pong.
Yeah. Well, no, not quite that bad. It was like text-based role-playing games. So sometimes I was like 12 or 11. So like when I was a little kid. And I happened to meet some friends like early on, like middle school. And they stayed friends. They're still friends to this day. And one of them was in Australia. So when I was like, I want to study abroad, I was like, my friend Babs is in Brisbane. Let's find where that is on the map and go study there.
Yeah. Wait, that's so awesome. Yeah, that's like what we all thought the internet was going to be. It was going to be like, oh, you have a friend in, you know, you have a pen pal online role-playing game friend in England and in Australia and Germany. Now you have a reason to go to those places. My friend April Richardson is the same way. She like had an early relationship to like zines. She was super into the zine culture. Way into it. She's from Georgia. Is that true? Yeah, she's from Georgia. Certainly her family lives in Georgia now, guys. I stand by that. Objection sustained. I just like throwing those in for Susan's sake. But she also don't think that has anything to do with the Undisclosed podcast. It's just going to be a bunch of people yelling objection! And someone saying sustained. That's boring as hell. Except when I do it. But she got into the zine culture early and like and is also was a huge fan of, you know, like the Smiths and bands to where she would go. She would sort of find, or she had this like reasons to go places that I never would have even conceived of. There was no reason for me to go to Australia that young. I didn't have any contact, you know what I mean? Yeah. So when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, oh, that's what the internet was. Like that, there's this sort of amazing door opening to, and it remains that way in many ways, but.
Yeah, I mean, obviously bad things happen on the internet, but for me as a kid, I made real friends who are still friends today. I'm sure my parents were like, I know my parents at the time were like, don't go on the internet. Only bad people are there.
You're like, sure, Babs like, turned out to be a 50-year-old man, but it's cool. God, he was so nice.
Like, Mom, I'm making lifelong friends who'll be there for me always. Just trust me on this one.
Yeah. And then you were like, I'm going to make sure that stays true
now it's
forever.
It's going to be true.
I'm going to prove her wrong forever. And then England, same thing, or totally different reason?
No, that was just because.
Is that the reason you gave when someone asked then? Just because.
Probably.
I never really had a reason.
I just didn't. I mean, I had a good scholarship where I could essentially study abroad with the same, not paying more.
Yeah.
So why not? Like.
Well, yeah, because had you done traveling of any kind outside the United States pre-Australia, or was that you really went the furthest away first?
Yeah, no, I had one trip with some friends. One of my friends in middle school was Dutch, and we went visit her dad for a couple weeks one summer. So I've done that, and
lucky.
That was it.
I almost said lucky duck in a super authentic way. You lucky duck. It's not an insult. Kind of sounded like that. So we've established you're a lucky duck. And did you just, you were just there, you were just in Holland and you weren't, like,
yeah,
there wasn't
was
a whole
just,
lot of like.
Yeah. That was just a bunch of like, we were like 15 or 16, we're little, so it was not even.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I did a stage program in France when I was 16. I just forgot a big part of my own life. I too am a lucky duck. What is happening to me? I went to France, you guys. Please like me, Susan. Please like me.
Like, in hindsight, why would you let your, like, 15-year-old... I think it was 15... I think it turned... Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Like, why would you let your daughter go, like, run around Europe unsupervised? But nothing bad... Like, we were actually totally great kids, and nothing bad happened, and it was fine. But
well, maybe that's part of it. I mean, if your parents had that understanding of you, you know, you probably had sort of set them up to feel okay with it in a way that a more rebellious kid maybe wouldn't get away with.
Yeah, I guess so. But like, I feel like it could have gone wrong. It didn't. But like, I'm like, would I let myself go there? Like,
yeah.
But it was fine. It was great. We had great fun. We met some really stoned British guys that were probably like 20 and way too old on like one of the canals one night. And we were like, we're so cool. Nothing happened. Right. But we felt super cool for talking to some older guys who were smoking weed. And we're like, do you want some? No, we're good.
Yeah. You know what? For all the mischief I got up to then, when I was in France, I definitely pulled way back, and I had a similar experience where I would sort of like, I liked being flirted with up to a certain point, but there was clearly some unspoken thing inside me that was like, I'm certainly not going to go somewhere with this guy. Like
you're going to talk to me, we're going to go back and giggle about how like, oh my God, we talked to some older guys, we're so cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's as far as it's ever going to go.
100%. 100%. And then I would go back to my little host sister who was 10 and be like, this is where I feel comfortable. Let's talk about life, mariage. To this day, it's one of those people, like, if I ever see her as an adult, I'm going to be, like, the aunt that can't handle her being grown up, because in my mind, when I picture her, all I picture, because she's just, I mean, Marie-Ange means, like, you know, Mary Angel, Marie Angel, And she was so adorable and just guileless. And whenever I think about her, I only think about her saying, before we left to go somewhere, "Attends, je vais faire pipi." You can probably figure out what that means.
I cannot.
I'm gonna go pee pee.
Okay. Yeah, I could have.
And I was like, that is the cutest thing I've ever heard. Like, I want that to be my ringtone. We didn't have ringtones in those days, guys. We didn't have ringtones. We didn't have those choices. But I would now. That'd be weird. That'd be weird if I forgot to turn my phone off and I was like, "Je vais faire pee pee." Like, someone in the audience would be like, "You're made for me." Just that one person. I'd be like, uh oh. Yeah. Were your friendships in high school more informed by the sports you were playing? Were those the people that you were hanging out with? Or
I definitely didn't fit in with that crowd so much. Like, I like got along. We played sports together. You know, we were friends to a certain, like, on the field, but it was definitely
friends
not.
Friends on the field.
Yeah.
We need a saying that's like, friends on the field, in life, never yield.
I don't think we have that saying.
That's not it. That's a bad example. I look forward to each one of you coming up with a better one for what represents being someone's friend on the field and in real life.
Yeah, no, I think did I have any? No, I think actually in hindsight, I was the jock of the group.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever realized that before. Yeah, no, I was the token jock.
So you were chewing tobacco and, no, just kidding. That's not a thing. I'm just trying to make it clear that, again, I don't know what jocks do. Although my cousin Julian was a jock, and he definitely chewed tobacco. That's where I got it. That's my whole... So in my world, a jock is... Julian was a girl growing up. So in my head, I guess the only jock I can imagine is, like, now a trans man who's fabulously handsome and gave up tobacco. That's it. That's what I got. That's a jock. Julian would be so proud.
They're all that way.
Yeah. Yep. So what does that mean? The other girls were sort of like, yeah, we're doing sports, but it's not necessarily like the thing we're as
hardcore. Oh, no, they were super
hardcore.
Into it. It's just like they were, I mean, my friends were probably the quieter, geekier types.
Okay. Oh, so, okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I guess it really was kind of like not many of that geeks that were also playing all the sports. So.
Well, because did you have those kinds of relationships like the kind of role-playing stuff that you were doing online? Was there a physical, in-person Atlanta version of that at all? Did you do any kind of D&D or anything like that?
Oh, no, I wish I had friends like that. Yeah. My real-life friends were probably cooler in that regard. So
yeah.
If I had friends that could play D&D, that would have been amazing. It would have been my ideal childhood.
So you were the jock in your group of friends,
and
but
the
also...
Yeah, I was both. I was like the only sports player and the one who's like...
Geekier than,
like,
they were.
Can I teach you guys what a tabletop game is?
That's a tough. Yeah. That's tough to be on the extreme of both ends.
Yeah, they're a great group. I don't think to this day they'd agree to play a tabletop with me. But
yeah.
Every other way, they're good friends.
But they were kind of on the geekier side. So what was something that would be fun for you guys to do?
Honestly,
like, go to a movie,
it was,
or
not even just geeky. It was just like not into the party scene.
Yeah.
So that's probably like if I called some of them geeks, they probably wouldn't like it. They were not nerdy necessarily. Some of us definitely were. But
they were wholesome.
God, I hate to think
feels
that's
weird. Also,
like, that could be true. I don't want it to be.
They weren't irresponsible and making dangerous choices.
We were largely the responsible group. Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it.
Like some of us were.
Yeah,
and tries to pop collar.
In my core group, it's like I think we have four or five doctors. So like they probably were on this path from the beginning. Like,
oh, were they?
Yeah, they were.
So you would be the one. You ended up as an attorney, but the doctors were the ones who were driven.
Yeah, I'm the only attorney too. Yeah, no, I've got a bunch of like doctor friends who are like great all around people in high school, and then there's like me, jock nerd. Guess I'm gonna be an attorney now. Let's
yeah.
see how that works out.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
that's a pretty amazing road. So in school you weren't. I mean, again, there's no sense of like, well, listen, I did. The truth be told, I did enjoy debate. Like, there was no sort of sense of anything that those of us who think when you start practicing the law, again, not necessarily having to be a trial lawyer, but just having the ability to have a strong opinion and the ability to use facts to assert your opinion and be successful, that's the most articulate I've ever been about marrying debate and the law. This is exciting for me.
So for me,
what a lucky duck I am.
Debate club was basically fencing, because I did go to like the first like meeting like of debate club where they tell you like, I'm like, that sounds fun. I'm going to join debate club.
Yeah.
I get to the meeting and they hand out this, like, I don't even know what they call it, like Squirrel Killer or something, of some book that tells you all the arguments you make. Like, in advance, they have, like, the stuff listed out.
Wait,
like,
what was it called?
I don't even know. It was like Squirrel. Who did debate?
Did
here?
You say Squirrel Killer?
I think so. Who did debate? Someone knows what I'm talking about, right? Okay, I swear
no
to God.
Knows.
There's Squirrel in the title. It's all I remember.
So were you or were you not in a coma for most of high school? And are these dreams?
No.
Are they all dreams?
I'm going to look it up. I swear to God, there was something with a squirrel in it and it had to do, like, with these these books they gave you that told you what arguments to make in the debate. Mm. And I was like, this is bullshit, I'm done. So yeah, I didn't make it through the first like meeting.
That's how I feel about Words with Friends. I want to be rewarded for the long word I come up with, not because like
not
that's
strategy,
a three-pointer
yeah.
of a word no one knows. It's like, yeah. ung. Oh, ung is a word, and that's 60 points? Great.
Yeah, good for
you. It feels like you're
you.
Cheating the system. You want to like get it out of merit.
Sure, you're just like abusing the loopholes for
yeah.
your points.
That's
I hope
like
you enjoy that.
Squirrel, that's like the squirrel killer of
words. Swear to God, it's something totally different. But in my head, what is it?
It's squirrel killer.
It is? All right. I totally thought I was wrong about that. I knew the squirrel part was right, but squirrel killer sounded
really
wrong.
That feels like some group has now said they have to change that name. At least one group. PETA has been like, no, you're changing that.
Yeah.
But it's still called squirrel killer.
Yeah. Anyway, the debate seemed like bullshit to me, so I didn't do it.
Yeah. But you were mildly interested.
I was. The idea sounded great. The reality sounded really boring.
All right. Well, listen, if you and I both can find more free time, we will start a debate while fencing club. It will be like, but isn't it true that...
On God.
Yeah.
That's all
yeah.
I know.
As you take a lunge forward, you have to make a point, a particularly salient point.
Yeah. But also in fencing, I learned too late that you don't get to do like the whole bashing stuff. The whole goal is just to like poke. I'm like,
It's a poking sport. It absolutely is. There's no doubt about it. Especially if you have a little ball, a little ball tip on it.
Yeah, no, like you can't hurt anyone. You're not having any epic, like,
they're not offering
battles.
Broadsword as a sport in
Yeah, no, that's like debate
school.
And arguing is like fencing. And actual sword fights.
Yeah.
It's totally not worth it.
What did you... So when you finally realized, like, I am... Listen, it's happening to me. I'm going to law school. I continue to be in law school. Here it goes. What emphasis did you... Were you drawn to anything in particular?
International law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I loved doing it, because it was fun and I liked it. I don't think I planned making a career out of it, because there aren't really that many careers, and the careers that exist...
Yeah, give me a hypothetical. Like,
I mean,
when would someone be like, we need an internet... Is there an international lawyer on the plane?
So there are cases for, like, there is, like arbitration and for civil law. It does come up sometimes, like, for lawsuits, and it doesn't matter, but the stuff I liked was more public international law. So if you're, like, a politician or, like, in the State Department, it'd probably matter. I didn't really want to go that route, so it was more for fun that I was doing it.
Great.
But yeah, no, it was fun. I still like it, but I knew at the time I was not going to do a career in that. I don't know why I kept doing it. Theoretically, I knew I had a career afterwards, but yeah.
How much of your non-undisclosed work is what percentage of that and versus, because it seems like you guys are so busy doing undisclosed, like how does that get juggled?
For my real job?
Yeah,
my mom still calls it my real job. I'm like, Mom, like, at this point, like, it's pretty clear which way this is going.
Yeah.
So, like, stop calling it my real job.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're on the schools, we're doing this. She's like, oh, how's your real job going?
Right.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
I have definitely, for a few years, I did both, and it was pretty awful.
I mean,
it was
sure.
great, but, like, also, I didn't have any weekends. I'm lucky I still have friends, because I didn't see them. I was a terrible friend.
Yeah. Were people surprised to know that you had that sort of tenacious, like, I am absorbing information and I will look at it? And because you have Susan sort of has a reputation of sort of finding a needle in a haystack, and to do that you have to be able to sort of observe and absorb information in a very specific way.
Yeah, I'm known for being pretty stubborn and like boneheaded and like, well, continue past the point of diminishing returns. So I think that part they were not surprised by at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told Robbie this a couple weeks ago, and she's like, oh my God, that explains everything about you. It's still horrible. When I was a kid,
that's
a little
friendship,
kid,
everybody.
When I was like four, I had this game I played, and I had to touch doors before they closed to prove I could.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
so
that
this
was,
isn't like an OCD thing. It was a game.
It was like, I can touch that door before it closed. I can prove I'm so fast that door is never going to get me.
I like this.
Yeah, I did lose eventually, and I lost a finger, and they put it back on.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be like, one day a door closed.
No, the door closed on me and the finger came off.
What doors are we talking about?
Chuck E. Cheese doors. Yeah.
Season 10, undisclosed. We're suing Chuck E. Cheese.
And my mom, bless her heart, they're like, you can't, it's a little four-year-old's finger. What are you going to do with that? And they couldn't. She's like, it's her wedding finger. You have to try to put it back on. So the only reason the doctor even tried was because my mom said, like, she's going to have a wedding ring on there one day. You've got to fix it. So it's like, it's on, and it looks okay-ish.
The
so.
Ring is the only thing holding it on.
Yeah.
They're like, we have to get her wedding ring early. Very early.
It's
and
like
then
the
in a hospital,
the yellow,
they'll
the
swap.
Yeah,
the yellow
like, don't take it off. Yeah. It's coming off.
Yes. Well, I'm very glad that, or just like a robot finger that you just eventually, you keep, you have to, as you grow, grow, you keep having to size up.
So yeah, being competitive and stubborn was something I was probably a little bit known for.
I mean, that is like, I need to get you on some sort of to tell the truth kind of game show where, you know, it has to be like three truths and a lie or something like that, where you, where it's like one of these panelists, like true or false, one of these panelists lost a finger at Chuck E. Cheese. People will be like, that didn't happen to a real person.
From a How I Met Your Mother, you know, the drunker kid game, I would be the best at that. No one would ever.
Oh my God, absolutely. You'd be like, yep, check.
Did that.
I feel like I would lose my finger at Chuck E. Cheese being like, I wonder if I can stick my hand inside the mouth of Chuck E. Cheese as he's talking.
That would be traumatic. That would be truly traumatic.
Yeah. But you could tell people that a giant mouse ate your finger.
Yeah.
And then never give them any more information.
Just
they would
leave
draw
it there.
Their own conclusions. Yeah. I was in Australia, guys, you know. They're like, what?
That happens.
How big are the mice in Australia?
Huge. Yeah.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Well, Alexis, we got big news.
Uh-oh.
Season one, done.
It's over.
Season two, coming at you hot.
3 years after
season one. Technically almost 4 years.
All right.
And now, listen, here at Can I Pet Your Dog, the Smash It podcast, our seasons run for 3.5 years. And then in season two, we come at you with new hot co-hosts. Named you.
Hi, I'm Alexis.
And we also have
field trip. Dog tech.
Yeah. Dog news. Celebrity guests.
Oh, big shots.
Will not let them talk about their resume.
Nope. Only the dogs.
Only the dogs. I mean, if ever you were going to get into Can I Pet Your Dog,
now's the time.
Get in here.
Every Tuesday
at MaximumFun.org.
As you know, we did a soft landing, soft beginning. We did a soft open to the store of this podcast episode. And I came up here with nothing. My MASH pad is in the backpack that is sitting in front of you, young man, also known as my fiancé. Hello. We're going to do this game of MASH. When I'm calculating the results, Jenny will come up and play a beautiful song while I, and it will be beautiful.
MASH like the old, like, the writing game?
Yeah. Surprise.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. That's part of it, because did you ever do that when you were a kid?
No, my friends did. When we were little, we did, and I was like, this is dumb. I'm not doing this. Dude, I was so...
Ladies and gentlemen, that's my time. I'm a DC comic. Well, this can only go well.
I was so convinced I'd never get married that, because I just, like...
Well, the whole finger thing.
Dumb. Yeah. That I... like, I couldn't. It's over for me. That I don't even know. We were dead sober, too. That's probably the saddest part. I ended up signing a contract with a friend of mine. That, like, they're like, you're going to get married one day. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, okay, well, then sign a contract that says if you get married, John Bowman gets to be your flower girl in a T-Rex costume. I'm like, I will sign that right now. They kept it. So I had a T-Rex flower
You
girl.
Did?
Yeah. I couldn't back it. It's a contract.
Once again, you have proven your point. Because if you said, again, so one of these contestants, like one of these experts had a T-Rex flower girl. People were like, well, that's bullshit. That's not a thing ever.
Like the odds of like one, me getting married and two, them saving the piece of paper seem pretty low. So like, it seemed like a safe bet.
And you're the lawyer. Yeah. I hate these people. I got to talk to them. There's so many injustices going on here that are of a lighter fare than what you're usually working on. You know what? This is a weird, these wonderful MASH pads that were made by a listener that I've used for many years. They're very specific about what kind of, it's in the same, yeah. They like a felt tip. They like,
I love felt tip.
A near marker. They sort of don't show up unless.
I got my good one.
Susan came prepared for the game she hates and only feels disdain for.
These are good ones.
I'm going to use this pen just to prove to you how fun this game can be. God, I'm angry. Susan. I put it in quotes like it's not real, like it's not her real name. Like that's a dig.
Susan.
Like that's an insult. Okay, Susan.
No one names kids under 40, 50 that. Like
Janet, hello.
That's true.
Every Janet I meet is like my great aunt's like, age.
Basically.
But it's very exciting. It's
when
rare
you
enough.
Janet,
but
is it really exciting?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, there's another one of us.
Yeah, it's like a Wampeter or Granfalone. It's a real Kurt Vonnegut moment where I'm like, clearly you and I are the same.
Yeah, Susan's not under true. Like grandma age, unite.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some cool Susans out there. There's some cool real Susans out there. Susan. All right, Susan. All right, let's do three places in the world that you have not yet had the opportunity to spend more time that you would like to be able to do that.
That I've been to, or that...
You know what? It could be places you've never even been to yet.
Antarctica?
Great. Oh. Yeah. Someone was like, shit just got real. She came to play.
Belize, because they have monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And also you can like hunt lionfish with an underwater like bow thing. So one day.
What if I say, no, you can't, and you say, Belize it or not?
I will not say that.
That's the right answer. That was a test. You're doing okay so far.
And there's so many places out there.
I know. I should have warned you that this happens. This is a real on the spot. This is a real Susan on the spot.
The Seychelles Islands.
Seychelles, great. Okay, great. How about three mysteries, large or small, that you would like to know the answer to from any time in history, anything in your own life that you would have the answer to?
The Bear Brook Murders.
Indeed.
Robbie, my co-host, told me a mystery yesterday that we've been debating about, where she went out of her apartment with her two kids, dropped them off at school, got back, and a phone card that she'd had on the table when she left been torn into tiny, tiny little pieces.
What?
On her table.
What?
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, I wondered,
there was no one else home?
Well, I'm like, Robbie, someone else was there. Obviously someone's in the house. There's no supernatural shit. That's nothing to do with a person was in your house. She's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that before.
Wait, what? Wait, she felt that the only possible solution was, which ghost was it?
Well, it's her. It was her, like, the only time she had a supernatural experience. Like, that's the one thing she can't explain.
Yeah.
Like, the one time.
Oh, that's the one, her one yeah. mystery.
And I'm like, I can explain it.
Card.
You almost died. So I want to know what really happened and who tore up that piece of paper.
This is very exciting. Maybe I'll make that my life's mission. Who tore up Robbie's phone card?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
And
final one.
There's so many mysteries out there. I'm not choosing my own cases. That seems like an unfair advantage.
Okay.
So
right.
I'm going to choose.
You're not choosing the things that you work
thing,
so very hard
that
on that you would actually receive.
Well, the Bear Book I've always wanted to know more about.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That one's an important mystery with paper.
Indeed.
What did a dodo look like?
Mm.
Like a real living one. We don't have any good, like, non-stuffed ones. Like, the ones we have are pretty poor.
You want to observe it
in its
natural
environment. Yeah, I want to see a dodo being a dodo. They're probably absurd and hilarious.
Yeah, so. I agree. Guys, I've made no secret about the fact that a bird has built a nest in one of the hanging plants that's right by our front door, and it's so stressful because you don't want to ever come in or out because every time she leaves the nest, and you're like, I'm responsible for a baby murder.
Come back. I want that. Like, I want a bird to like have a nest there.
It's so cute. I'll send you pictures. It's real cute. I don't know what kind of bird it is. Here, I'll
send me pictures.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
No, I'm just gonna do it by what she sounds like. Peep.
That doesn't narrow it down that much. It's probably not an owl.
It's not an owl. I guarantee it's not an owl. She's very, she look, she's a dignified, but yet plain brown, and she's very cute.
LBB,
oh,
little brown bird.
She's a little brown bird. She's a little brown bird. Okay, next one. Three movies that you can jump into and just sort of be in that world as a sort of.
Last Unicorn.
Great. That's an emotional one.
This is the best movie of all time, hands down. Oh. I made my husband watch it, and like, this is the best movie we'll ever see. It's the best thing ever. And he's like, too afraid to say anything. I'm like, don't you love it? He's like, oh, it's interesting animation. I'm like, oh, you don't love it? What? I married the wrong man.
Take this finger.
Yeah. It's yours now. I truly thought he would like instantly see how amazing it was and love it as hardcore as I did. And like, that's how much I loved it. I didn't wasn't aware that not everyone
I can't separate myself. I did Chuck Bryant of Stuff You Should Know has a great podcast about movies, and I was his first guest, and he was like, all right, this is no pressure, but you're my very first guest, and this is supposed to be people's favorite movies. And I was like, okay, we're doing Tron. And he was like, okay, like so disappointed. I'm sure he wanted me to say The Godfather. Like, let's start off strong. And I was like, no, we're talking about The Game Grid, buddy. We're going deep into The Game Grid.
I also, here's the thing, I don't like movies that much.
Yeah, great. Perfect.
Yeah.
So The Last Unicorn and then nothing else.
Movies are too long to sit there and quietly in the theater, so I try to avoid them at all costs.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't like going to the movie theater.
I'm just going to stick with, like, Milo and Otis. Let's do that.
Milo and Otis, great. Yeah, tap into the kid in you. I'm making assumptions.
Last time I saw a movie. Let's see. I mean, everything else I've seen, like, recently is, like, I don't want to be in that world.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like
movies
dark,
are dark
and scary and,
yeah,
like, not
yeah.
that fun.
Or is there, like, a cartoon from childhood that you were like, why am I not a super friend, etc.?
Oh, I totally thought I could be Ninja Turtle at one point. I was
great.
Like, growing up, I'll be Ninja Turtle. It's totally going to happen.
We're absolutely
it did not happen.
Putting that on here without a doubt. Okay, I'm going to do one more category because I don't want to rush. So I'm going to take it easy on you, especially because you hate this game.
Okay. Well, this is not the one we play. The one we play is like, what house are you going to live in with your boyfriend?
I'm customizing it. I thought I was customizing it for you, but I'm still coming up with categories that you're like, I have disdain for all movies. The things I think are the very safest. Maybe I'll do two more. Because this one, there's no way you're going to say that you can't. You're going to be like, if you say you don't eat and you only eat protein bars, I'm going to lose my mind. Because I know that's not true.
I'm really bad.
Is it true? You don't like food? She doesn't like food.
I live on frozen burritos. Like, I hate... For me, like, it's...
Yeah.
Trying to remember to, like, have to go out and get lunch every... It's such a pain in the ass.
You don't have the relationship where you're like, God, I'm really craving, like, a blah, blah, blah.
I like Flaming Hot Cheetos. They're good.
Well, this is what the category is. The category is foods that aren't good for you that you would prefer they be great for you because you want to eat them without any negative ramifications. Ecological or your own body or whatever.
Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Great.
Coffee ice cream. Mm-hmm. That is good for you, though, right?
Coffee ice cream? Great. It's great for you. Don't tell her.
And peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
PB&J's. Great. And next category, three talents that you wake up with that you can do tomorrow that you've just sort of downloaded in your head Matrix style. Like, suddenly you're skilled, and it could be, you know, anything from, like, something technological that, like, I would love to be able to repair certain things, or speaking languages, anything.
Sword fighting.
Done.
Dragon riding.
Great.
And have neat handwriting.
Oh. Well, that is not possible with practice, so.
My handwriting is so embarrassing. It's like a five-year-old who's trying really hard. Still not doing that great.
So it looks like there's effort involved,
like,
and it still isn't good.
It's not just sloppy. It's like there's effort, and it's still not coming out that well.
Now I need to see that. I need to see that handwriting. Okay, will you tell me, I'm just going to do a quick squiggle, so just a few seconds here. Just tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, great. I'm going to do some very rudimentary calculation. I don't know if you can call it calculation.
Calculus, yeah.
Jenny, would you be kind enough to play us a song while I do this? And thank you. Guys, thank you so much for coming. I can't believe on time I am. This is, you know why? Because I was so afraid that I would talk Susan's ear off and I wouldn't let her get off stage. And then I wanted Jenny to play also, that I scared myself into...
Being punctual.
This is terrible. I'm so disappointed. I really wanted to be like... thrown out of here, swept out with a broom, like on Mama's Family. Someone that happens to someone.
I'll do like a 10-minute song, and then
please, would you please?
There's heavy
thank
math
you.
Here, so make
I'm
it
tell you my
yeah,
life story.
And it is heavy math. It's very heavy math, Susan. Jenny Tolman, everybody.
All right, thank you. The song is called "Something to Complain About."
I like it.
She goes on about her blisters from her $1,000 heels. Well, bless her heart, I can't imagine how horrible that feels. On about her double D's and how they hurt her back. Well, I wish I had me something to complain about like that. Checkout line, flipping through some magazine. All these nightmarish divorces from them folks living the dream. How they have to sell their mansions and only get half. Well, I wish I had me something to complain about my dad. Yeah, there's things about my life I'd like to change. It ain't hard to find a reason to complain. But we don't have to look that far to notice those who go without. Sometimes I find myself wondering what I'm bitching about. Traffic around here sucks, and it's only getting worse. Construction trucking makes me want to curse. That man holding a cardboard sign there on the exit ramp ain't fussing about the price, I guess. Bet he wishes he had something to complain about like that. Yeah, there's things about Sometimes I find myself wondering what I'm bitching about. Things about my life I'd like to change, but ain't that part of being human anyway? No, we don't have to look that far to notice those who go without. Sometimes I find myself wondering what I'm bitching about. Yeah, what are we all bitching about? Hey, honey, you see that crying baby on that poor old woman's back? Well, let's go make us something to complain about like that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. By the way, CMA Fest is next week, and Jenny's going to be a part of that. So if you are in the Nashville area, I strongly recommend that you find out where she's going to be. I understand it will be air-conditioned, so many people will be very happy to hear that. And if you haven't listened to the episode with Jenny, it's wonderful. One of the things that I love about her is that, you know, here we talk about, like, the different ways that we all world build, and I kind of come from more of a sort of, like, Comic-Con community these days, but what I love is finding out, like, how many different ways there are to world build and so many different niches and art forms and stuff, and it's a great episode. We talk about how she sort of creates these characters that now there's basically a whole town of people that Jenny has invented whole cloth that have their own adventures and stories and stuff. I love it. So thank you so much for being a guest. Susan, I have some news for you.
All right.
I have the results of your test. First of all, I got to tell you, you have a opportunity to spend a lot of time in Belize. Believe it or not, you did end up with a shack. That's a mansion, apartment, shack, and house of it all. I just don't control that. That's the universe. It's the same person that tore up Ravia's phone card, I have to assume. And as much as I wish that mystery for you and her and all of us now would be solved, unfortunately, or fortunately, we have the answer now to the Bear Brook murders. So, yeah, that's a big one. A lot of people would be very happy about that. You also can have unlimited PB&Js.
Sweet.
Which, by the way, I enjoy toasted PB&Js. Are you
a
non-toast?
Tried that.
Oh, it makes the peanut butter kind of melt into the jelly more.
Yeah, no, I gotta do that.
Delicious. Oh, a warm PB&J, a little bit crunchy on the outside. Yeah, I got a lot of people interested. I gotta start
like
a business.
Nice brioche roll or something?
Oh, sure,
gosh.
Sure.
I'm doing this.
I mean, I would be that person who's like, oh, there's a peanut butter and jelly cafe. Here I go with all the different kinds, like grilled cheese
peanut
cafe.
Butter, different jellies. It's,
yeah.
Let's open that.
Oh,
I'm
all
in.
Right, we're doing it because we both have a lot of free time in Belize. Listen, as far as how you get to Belize, I have to assume that you're going to be dragon riding there.
Sweet.
So that's going to be an adventure and a half just getting to Belize. And then that just leaves us with your ability to go into one of these so-called movies everyone's so into. In your case, you did get the last unicorn.
Yes.
So you can leave your husband at the door and go into the movie he doesn't appreciate.
Not nearly enough.
And spend time with, who are you going to hang out with most? I guess the last unicorn. What if you're like, I don't like the last unicorn.
She likes her privacy. I love her. She likes to be her own thing. I mean, Schminter can make and go hang out together.
There you go.
Or Jeff Bridges and I. I mean, he's now lonely, so... Sorry, husband, you don't like this movie? It's me and the prince.
Listen,
Jeff Bridges is the prince. I did not know that until the last time I watched
you
it.
You just inadvertently added the category of who you end up with that I avoided strenuously because you were like, I hate MASH. It's like, who are you going to marry? And you just inserted Jeff Bridges into it, which brings us full circle because Jeff Bridges just opened a Lebowski Fest with Jenny Tolman's song that he heard and loved it so much he wanted to cover it. It was a Welcome At song. So that is an amazing thing you've just made happen. Something special happened here today. Today, everyone. That is the end of the podcast. And And I thank you guys so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was fun.
But we're both doing a bunch of other stuff this weekend at the fest, and I'm excited to see how it all pans out.
Yeah, this was way less traumatic than I thought it'd be.
Did you think it was gonna be traumatic?
Well, I was like, you talked to me before. You're like, I'm like, oh God, how deep are we going here?
How deep are we going? I
took it easy on you.
No, but anyway, thank you again. This is a soft closing. No big. See, I've already said goodbye, but we're still up here. It's a soft closing, guys. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.